Look at the book of Mark tonight. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Mark chapter 1, verse 1. Mark wrote these words in the opening of this book when he said, "The beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God." We're going to call tonight's lesson, "The Servant Identified." As I was telling Jim a while ago, I read the book through this afternoon, and in the book, you find in the first part of the book where Jesus is, his servitude to the Father is emphasized. He's a servant. The latter part of the book, we see about his nature of Jesus. But let's look at his, let's just call this lesson, "The Servant Identified." As we noted in it, Mark said the beginning of the gospel. What's the gospel? The gospel is good news of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. This is the subject matter of the gospel. Near the close of Jesus' personal ministry on the earth, you look at Matthew chapter 22 and verse 42, Jesus asked two questions. He asked, "What think ye of Christ, and whose son is he?" What think ye of Christ, and whose son is he? What a person thinks about Christ influences that individual's thinking about what he thinks about life, about what he thinks about other people, about what he thinks about his job, what he thinks about at home, and what he thinks about his soul's eternity. Where do you get your thoughts about Jesus tonight? Do you get your thoughts about Jesus from the books that are written by uninspired men? There's some good books out here. You go to Gospel Advocate or 21st Century Christian, there's been some good books written. Jim's got some good books. I've got some good books in my library. But these are not inspired, though. Or do you get your thoughts about the inspired Word of God, the Holy Bible? The Bible is our roadmap to heaven. So Mark affirms three things about Jesus in the opening verse of the book. An inspired account of Jesus' life. And we need to have an appreciation of these three things. Should cause us to have a deeper appreciation for Jesus to be the Son of God. He's the Son of the Father. Now the first point we want to talk about in the verse, let's look at the verse again. It identifies the servant is Jesus. The servant identified is Jesus in verse 1, chapter 1 of Mark. Now the name Jesus simply means Savior or Deliverer. You look with me back to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21. When the Messiah asked about Jesus' birth, the angel said, and she shall bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus, and what's his mission? For he shall save his people from their sins. And this is what he was sent on the earth to do, to save his people or deliver his people from sin. Jesus saves up his people from the guilt of sin. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22, the writer would write years later, he said, "Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water." Jesus saves us from the guilt of sin by when one obeys the gospel. That individual has decided that the life he or she's been living is not right. And so they're baptized for the remission of sins. And they have committed themselves to the Lord. Jesus saves people from the guilt of sin, therefore. Jesus saves from the defilement of sin. Sin makes a person so dirty. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Peter wrote, "Whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust." He says to the Christians of his day and the Christians of our day that we have these exceeding great and precious promises from God because we've decided that we want something better. And now we're made partakers of the divine nature of God. And we've escaped this world of sin through lust. And we're better off for it. Jesus saves us from the condemnation of sin. Look at John chapter 3, verse 17. We all know verse 16, but verse 17 is a commentary on verse 16. He says, "For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, that the world through Him might be saved. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." Then God did not send Jesus in the world to condemn the world. But He sent Jesus in the world as the Savior, or the Deliverer for the world. Therefore, Jesus saves us from the control of the domination of sin in our lives. Paul will talk about this in Romans chapter 6 and verse 6. And he talks about how sin can get a hold of you. We see this every day in the news, how sin gets a hold of people and how they suffer many tragic things as a result of sin, even death. Romans chapter 6 and verse 6, Paul would write, "Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin." Jesus saves us from the condemnation of sin, or the condemning of our sins before His Father in heaven. Now we've decided that we want to be free from sin, and being free from sin, you make the decision that you want to destroy that sin in your life, that you don't want to serve sin. Because sin controls you, and sin can make tragic ending of lives. Isaiah had foretold the coming of the suffering servant. He called, who had said would in his time save people from their sins. Now, we all know about Isaiah 53. Isaiah 53 and verse 11, Isaiah said, "He shall see the betrayal of his soul and shall be satisfied by his knowledge. Shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." That was the prophecy about the death of Christ. That he, Christ, would come to the earth, be the sacrificial servant for mankind from God, that His righteous servant, Isaiah calls Him God's righteous servant, and He's going to justify or make many free. But He's going to bear their iniquities or their sins upon the tree, that we can be free from sin. So Jesus is our Savior. He's our Deliverer. In the second place, go back to our text, Mark chapter 1, verse 1, we see the servant is the Christ, not a Christ, not one other Christ, but the Christ. There's only one Christ. In Old Testament scripture, God had promised a Messiah. He promised the Jews that there would be a Messiah who would come and save them from sin. The Messiah of the Old Testament scripture, which is Christ, which was prophesied in both the major and minor prophets. Being Isaiah is called the Messianic prophet because he prophesied more about Christ than any of the prophets. But Christ, the name Christ means anointed. He's the anointed of God. There are three classes of people in the Old Testament that were anointed. First, there were the prophets. Second, there were priests. And third, there were kings. Well, now Jesus is the anointed of God to be the final prophet in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. The writer would open the book up by saying, God, who at sundry or different times, in divers of various manners, spake in time past and the fathers by the prophets. God used the prophets to prophesy about Jesus. He says, hath in these last days, the last age, spoken to us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom he also made the worlds. So Jesus is identified as the final prophet. He's the final prophet that we're to listen to. He's also, Jesus was anointed of God to be the true high priest. He's a true high priest. There were high priests in the Old Testament, but they went into the Holy of Holies once a year to offer up sacrifice for the sins of the people and for themselves in the most holy place. When I look at Hebrews chapter 8, verses 1 and 2, the writer again would teach us, now the things which we spoke of, this is the sum. We have such a high priest who is sat on the right hand of the throne of the majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. So see, we have the true high priest in heaven. He's at the right hand of the throne of God tonight. He intercedes for you and for me through prayer unto the Father. He is the anointed of God. He is the one that, he's the minister of the sanctuary, of the true tabernacle. And this isn't the tabernacle which men made. This is a true tabernacle that God made. And we're talking about the church. He's the head of the church. Jesus is anointed of God to be the King of kings and Lord of lords. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, about the end of that book, we see Paul would write this unto Timothy, which in his times he shall show, he's talking about Jesus, who is the blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. He's the only one in which we can know that we can be obedient to and be sure that our soul salvation is right before his Father in heaven, the Heavenly Father. So we see Jesus is the final prophet. He's our true high priest, and he's the King of kings and Lord of lords. Let's go back to our text, number 3. Jesus as a servant is identified to be the Son of God. He is the Son of God. The right Mark would say the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The only one Son of God. Only one. So the truthfulness of the first two, which we just looked at, Jesus, which means Savior or Deliverer, and Christ, which means anointed, therefore is confirmed by the fact, in the third place, that Jesus is the Son of God. He is what he claimed to be on the earth. He is what he claimed to be in Scripture, because God identified Jesus as his Son on two occasions. We find this in the book of Matthew, but we also find these in the book of Mark. The first occasion was when Jesus was baptized by John the Baptist when he was come up out of the water. If you look at Mark chapter 1, verse 11, after Jesus was baptized, Mark reports, and there came a voice from heaven saying, Thou art my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. The Heavenly Father endorsed or was pleased with His Son. Was pleased with what His Son had done. He was baptized. He baptized to leave us an example that we should be baptized for the remission of sins. Because that's what John was doing before Jesus came. He was teaching people and preaching to people and baptizing them for the remission of sins and the coming of Jesus. The second event was when Jesus was transfigured. You'll find this in Mark chapter 9 and verse 7. Same thing as Matthew has. Mark chapter 9 verse 7 said, "And there was a cloud that overshadowed them." Now this was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Them. Jesus, Peter, James, and John. "And a voice came out of the cloud saying, 'This is my beloved Son. Hear him.'" Added two words. Hear him. Hear his message. Hear his declarations. He's going to tell you the truth. God identified Jesus as his Son on those two occasions, when Jesus was baptized and when Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration. Jesus is identified as God's only begotten Son. Because John would write in John chapter 3 and verse 16, and I said, this is a passage which we all know. We all can go around this auditorium tonight and quote this passage. It says, "For God so loved the world," what did he do for us? "That he gave his only begotten or only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life." Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, "He shall save his people from their sins." Therefore, John says, this is what he came to do. He came to give his life that we should believe him and obey him and not perish eternally, that we can have the hope or the expectation of eternal life. Is Jesus a mere man who assumed and asserted his messiahship? Some people believe this. Some people believe that Jesus was not the Son of God. Some Jews today still believe, hold on to this fact. Some people say that Jesus was just a good man. He did a lot of good things and that's it. But we know that the Bible teaches that Jesus is more than that. He is the Savior. He is the Christ. He is the Son of God. Because we got scriptures. We got proof of it. There are other people who say, is he who he claimed to be, the Savior of the world? Yes, he is. Because we have documented evidence in the Bible that he is the Son of God. And he's the Savior of the world. If he wasn't, Peter wouldn't have confessed what he did in Matthew chapter 16. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16. You see, Jesus had asked a question, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And then they gave various answers to him. He said, "Well, you know, some say you're Elijah or one of the prophets." And he said, "But who do you think I am? Who do you say I am?" Peter had a confession on that occasion. That confession was a confession of truth. And from that confession, it became the foundation of the church. Matthew 16:16, Peter would say, "And Simon Peter answered and said, 'Thou art the Christ, the anointed one, the Son of the living God.'" Peter knew who Jesus was. Peter identified who Jesus was. The servant was identified by Peter on that occasion. The called out are people of God. You, me. They have decided that we want something better out of this life. We don't want money. We don't want houses. We don't want material things. We want something that's solid. We want something that we can believe in. We want something that we can endure with. And that is the Word of God. And so the called out of the people of God, the church, that we believe this truth. That Christ is our Savior. Christ is our deliverer. Christ is our anointed one. And Christ is the Son of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, Paul would write to those people. He says, "For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Christ, Jesus Christ." He said, this is the only hope which we have is in Jesus Christ. Nobody in this assembly tonight can give hope like Jesus can. The faith which we have through the Word of God leads people to obey Christ. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 9, the writer talked about Jesus and said, being made perfect, Jesus was sinless. Didn't have a sin. He was perfect. Since He's perfect, He became the author of eternal salvation. He became our author, or our representative, unto eternal salvation, unto all them that obey Him. Now we have to obey Him every day of our lives for Him to be the author of our eternal salvation. But if we disobey Him, He's not going to be our author. He's going to be, we've chosen a path that is dangerous, and dangerous because we do not know when judgment will come. And since we don't know when judgment will come, we won't be prepared for judgment. So a person's salvation from sin and for heaven is dependent on what that person believes about Jesus. Jim has used this a lot in the book of John, chapter 20, verse 31. John ends that book by saying, talking about the things that are written in the book of John, the evidences that John has wrote down. He says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He says, you have some evidence now. You have some information that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and you have these two facts, and that believing, you might have life through His name because you have decided to obey Him since He is the one that gives you eternal salvation. Mark began in this book with the identification and emphasis of the true nature of Christ. We see that he had talked, the servant has been identified as Jesus Christ, the Son of God. We have seen the nature, what the different terms about Jesus means. But the real important question now is, what do you think of Christ? How do you react to Christ? How do you react to the preaching of the gospel? How do you react to when you hear Jesus' name mentioned? You never obeyed the gospel of Christ. Why not have a positive reaction to this suffering servant? The servant's been identified. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You heard the gospel preached. Now you need to believe it. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess the name of Christ before this assembly. For in turn, Christ will confess you before His Father in heaven. And then you need to be baptized for remission of sins, that you can have your sins washed away and be in the right relationship with God and His Son. But maybe you've already done this. Maybe you're a Christian. Maybe you strayed away. And you know that your relationship with God and Jesus is not what it once was. And you know that if judgment wants to come tonight, that you would not be prepared for it. You have the opportunity to get prepared for it. We encourage you to do this. And as Jim leads us in this song, Hark the Gentle Voice of Jesus, listen to the voice of Jesus. If you need to respond, we want you to do that right now. So together we stand and sing.